I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 18 for a meditation this morning. I'd like to start reading with verse 21. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought that unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay him all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every man his brother their trespasses. I was really blessed this past week or so by a story that a customer shared with us when he came in to pay his monthly bill. He told us that, and I shared this a lot with some of my family and friends, so I'll share it with the rest of my family and friends just now, because I don't want you to miss it. It's great. This man is about 70 years old, and he grew up, I think, in Kansas. Grew up neighbors to a couple of his friends, a couple of boys that were about his age. And this boy's grandfather died, these set of boys, Kevin and Kenneth were their names. The grandfather died, and so Kenneth, the older boy, went to help his grandmother run the farm. And he ran the farm, and he was able to do that and until he was called into service, time of the Vietnam War. And his grandmother told him, well, when she passes on, this farm will be his. So he was looking forward to that. Well, and he went off to service, and in the meantime, she got dementia. And she willed her farm to his younger brother. And when he came back from the service, when his grandmother died just about the time he came back from service. And so they were at the funeral, and when the will was read afterwards, he discovered that she had changed her will and had given it to his younger brother. Well, that didn't sit very well, obviously, and his father told him, his father told his younger brother that grandma wanted to give this farm to Kenneth, and it was just her dementia, evidently, that probably caused her to do the other, but his younger brother refused to give it up, law was on his side. He had this. And so he went on with that. So Kenneth bought a place right next to his brother. He built a nice house, and he was very responsible with his finances and did very well. But there was a rift between them. They would not ride in the same truck. They would work together some in a co-op for a few years. They managed a lot of farming and a lot of harvesting and so on. But soon Kevin wanted out of the co-op as well. And so Kenneth and his father paid him off and let him go. Kenneth got involved in a number of things that weren't good ideas. Kevin, the younger man that inherited his grandmother's property, he got involved with a number of things that weren't so great. It was not as good a financial judge as what his brother was. And anyhow, time went on, and a lot of time went on. And Kenneth called Liza, our customer, local man now, but he called him and said, I'd like for you to come to Kansas. And he said, what's up? He said, well, Kevin is bankrupt. They're selling his place. They're selling everything. And he was friends with the boys, and so he thought, well, he should go out there and show him his friendship. And so he went out, and Kenneth was there at the sale, and he bought everything. He bought almost everything that Kenneth owned, that Kevin had owned. He bought almost everything that he had owned, minus horses that Kenneth didn't think was a good investment. So he bought everything everything else. And then he had this man go with him over to Kevin's house, let me get it right. And he signed this back over to Kevin. He gave him his place, he gave him his cows, he gave him his machinery, gave it all back to him. And in doing that, he told him that, you know, this has been a rift. Excuse me. This has been a rift between us. And he says, he doesn't want it to be that way. He wants to have a clean, open slate. Anyhow, he just didn't want that rift to be between them. And so he was willing to give that all back when he had lost it in the first place. I thought, what a story. What a story not only forgiveness, but one of redemption. One of we know that redemption means simply to buy back and to pay the price. And that's what he did in a physical sense. He bought back. He paid the price and then gave it back to this person. In a very real sense. And no doubt the brothers had a better relationship than they ever had, but no doubt also there was a debt of gratitude that the younger had for the elder, should have had anyhow. The only requirement that the elder said, he said, try not to lose this, he said. And maybe that's what Christ does for us as well. He buys us from our mistakes, our sins, our iniquities. He redeems us to himself. Maybe he says to try not to lose it. So how do we do that? Well, this scripture that I just read is a familiar one to us. I'm sure that for almost anybody that can understand, it's not the first time you heard that. And you know what it means. But there's something here that is really powerful. Peter, we look down on Peter when he says, how often shall I, my brother, trespass against me and I forgive him till seven times? You know, Peter, he's the outspoken one and he's going to make this practical. Sometimes it doesn't take seven times for us, though. You know, sometimes just a few times. But the whole point is that Jesus says, you know, that's not the issue. He said, if you want to be forgiven, you must forgive like your Heavenly Father has forgiven. And that's the thing that's so powerful here. It's not just that there were some people that were forgiven much and then didn't appreciate it and didn't pass it on. But he says in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not every brother their trespass. My, those are words that none of us ever want to hear. And so, try not to lose it. You know, we will, our salvation is dependent on our observation of forgiveness. We can't not forgive and be a Christian. Try not to lose it. Different people have different understandings and of what it means to forgive. It's a big subject, but basically we're simply saying that we don't hold that person responsible. We don't hold that person's feet to the fire for what is done, and we just let go. Recently, we got a free magazine in the mail. Most of the time, free magazines aren't worth your time. But in this case, it had an excellent article, and Marcia was reading this, and she said, you got to listen to this, and she read this article to me. And it was a Woman's Day magazine. It was just a sample copy. So she clipped this article out and threw the rest of the magazine away. But it says, forgiveness, your secret health superpower. And it goes on to say how forgiveness actually boosts your health. And it's very readable, very, very interesting. But it says anger and resentment are emotions that are intended for just short term. And when that is in there too long, it will actually affect your health. We know this kind of stuff, but these are studies that show that if you're dealing with anger and resentment and bitterness, it's going to lead you into depression and trouble that could be avoided if that part were taken away. So forgive, you know. This is what it says. A part of the brain that processes emotions send out a message. Back up to a title. It says, your body on a grudge. Say you're in the produce aisle when you spot your former best friend with whom you've had a nasty fight across a heap of potatoes. You see your friend over there. A part of the brain that processes emotions send out a message. Danger, reinforcements needed. Your body floods with the stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Cortisol amps up your systems needed for your fight, flight, or freeze response, boosting blood sugar and alertness while suppressing your immune system. Your blood pressure spikes, your heart rate increases, your stress hormones cause your vessels to narrow. If this happens too often, it can increase your risk of heart attack and stroke. You calm down, but you could have trouble later on. Chronically high levels of cortisol prompt your body to store fat in your belly, a problem that has been tied to illnesses like diabetes. All this might have been worth it if your ex-friend had brandished a weapon. Instead, your system has gone code red over someone who's shopping for produce. So, practical sense. I don't think we should look at people that have fat in their belly and people that are diabetic, people that have depression as primarily unforgiveness in their life. But face it, you know, those things happen when we ignore. Our spiritual and our physical are tied together somewhat. I'm not going to say where, because God is different than man, and he doesn't have his boundaries in the same place. But I would say that forgiveness is something that is underestimated in its value. And Jesus put a value on it. And this is what it says, that if we do not from our heart forgive every man his brother, then our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And what could be more valuable to us today and later than that?